Good morning, church. I'm Gladys Maungulu, and I am going to share the word of God with you today. And we are concentrating on Luke chapter 13, from verse 10 to 17. It's a familiar story. And you may be thinking, oh, I've read that so many times, and I can predict what it is about and what message can come out of it. But I believe that the God's word is living, and each day we read it, we get something out of it. Amen? So we read Luke chapter 13 from verse 10. To 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord Jesus answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox and donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Thanks be to God. Compassion is key, and walking in Jesus means we have to show compassion. So compassion is key. I would like to start by saying that God is a compassionate God, and he has demonstrated this throughout in the Old Testament. The Israelites, during their spiritual infidelity, as we see in the Bible, they were disobedient. They did not do what God wanted. But God still showed them compassion. This was also demonstrated throughout in the life of Jesus himself here on earth, to prove to us that God was amongst us. God continued to demonstrate his compassion through the power of his Holy Spirit living in us today. God's heart is full of compassion and mercy. The original word of the word compassion in Latin is compati. Means suffer with, It is when we recognize the suffering of others and we are moved to help out. Proverbs 31, verse 8 to 9, encourages us to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. I read a little bit about God's Compassion, a book by Alex Buchanan. And he describes compassion to be sympathy, suffering with or on behalf of others, and being afflicted with their affliction. It means mercy, refrain from anger or judgment, even though it may be totally justified to be angry or to judge. It means mirroring into a person's situation and being able to share it with them. I would want you to have a little bit. About God's compassion. I want you to reflect about God and His compassion. He's a God who is fatherly. Psalm 103, verse 13 to 14. You can hear the very heartbeat of God. God's compassion is wholehearted. But man's compassion is short-lived and is always at climax in the beginning, but can wane, can decrease or diminish with time. So if you have someone who's been ill for a long time, your compassion will change as years go by. And if it is a long time, you end up crying to God saying, why is this not going? Why is this person not being healed? Why is it that I have to care for this long? Why is God putting me in this situation? And many people have failed when it came to that. Some have actually run from such situations. Some have remained faithful, and God has gave them strength. God's compassion is attentive, so His eyes is all over the place. The Lord is looking over us and every place, watching the evil and the good, protecting us from evil and encouraging us to do good. God's compassion is responsive. He's not a dead God. He's a living God with a heart, with compassion. And when we cry unto Him, He always responds. God's compassion is not sentimental. Isaiah 55, verse 7. God wants us to humbly repent of our sin, before he can comfort and liberate us. The Word of God has more than enough examples of God's compassion, God showing his people how he loved them and how he loves them. God covering them and comforting them. I will mention a few verses. Exodus 34, if you want to take the verses down. Exodus 34, verse 6 to 7. Psalm 23, the familiar, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 103. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Matthew 9, verse 36. Just to mention a few from the Old Testament and New Testament. On several occasions, Jesus went out of the way to reach out to the needy, to those who were bent over, to those who were rejected, and just to touch them and heal them. The $1 million question I am going to ask you today is, does our life, or your life, or my life, reveal God's compassion to others? That's something for you to take home, reflect on it. And if it doesn't, then God is available to straighten it out. In our Bible story, we have seen Jesus healing a woman with infirmity spirit, bent over, oppressed. This woman was in a fixed position for 18 years. She walked, not upright like we are doing, but she was bent over. I would like us to mirror a bit about what this woman went through. The Bible tells us that she was in the situation for 18 years. She lived in a fixed position for 18 years. If it was today, and the journalists are capturing the story, they would be saying, breaking news. Jesus heals a crippled woman on a Sabbath while teaching in the synagogue. Isn't it? It would be headline news. I want us to think about what this woman went through. What do you think she experienced? Do you think it was easy to show compassion to this woman? Or to sympathize with this woman? I think it was possible. But there was a risk in sympathizing with a person who is bent over and who has been like that for 18 years. There is a risk in sympathizing with the bent over woman and her plight. It is possible to pass by and not even see her. It is possible to pretend she doesn't exist. It is possible to ignore her completely as she begs and shows her real desperation. to really sympathize with this woman is to feel our own pain. To be able to remember the time in our own lives when we walked in her shoes. It was the time we experienced excruciating pain. That time, if we remember, or that situation, if we remember how painful it was, then we will be able to sympathize with someone like her, only if we can relate to the pain she was going through. So I would like to think a little bit about her life. What do you think she was going through? As we can see there, bent, walking like this. Do you know what she was seeing? She was seeing people's shoes. She was seeing people's feet. She was seeing the carpet. She was seeing everything that was on the ground, the grass. She was not able to see even the faces of the people that she loved. She was bent like this, and she had to tweak her neck to see something different. Are you with me, church? Do you see how this person was really suffering? So, Jesus, on this day, he is teaching in the synagogue. And the woman comes into the synagogue. As Jesus continues with his teaching, he then paused and called this woman. Woman, you have been set free from your ailment. Jesus said. And he walked over and went to the woman, laid his hands upon her, and the woman got healed immediately. She burst into praises, thanking God and saying, "Praise God for healing me. Praise God for straightening me out. Praise God for changing me." The praising was automatic, instant. Because her life was never going to be the same. This kind of compassion we are talking about is a problem in our 21st century. People are less sympathetic about other people's situations. Some people even laugh when you're in trouble. Isn't it? We have traditions and lifestyles which hinder us from being empathetic or feeling for others. I would like to suggest that Jesus did not only heal this woman on that day because she was the only bent person. There were many people in that synagogue who were bent like her. And so Jesus showed the Pharisees or the rabbi, their true color, because they were angry, for he did a good thing on the Sabbath. They were angry. They did not like it at all. Why do you think they were angry? One, because Jesus had contravened the rules, their rules. You shall not work on a Sabbath. So, because you shall not work on a Sabbath, this rabbi had authority. This story reveals to us two kinds of authorities. So this rabbi had authority over people not to work on a Sabbath. If you did, you were in trouble. It gave them control over the people. But it was authority that did not come from God. And on that day, Jesus challenged that authority. And that's why they got angry, because they realized that they will no longer have any grab on anyone if he is bringing this. And what was Jesus' response? Because they were saying, you cannot do that. It's work. We are not allowed to work on a Sabbath. What was Jesus' response? He said, really? Should we not let this woman be freed from her ailment, being bound? She's been like that for 18 years. Shouldn't we let her be freed from this bondage on a Sabbath? And then Jesus said to them, you are hypocrites. Why? Because now Jesus is bringing to them something that they can relate to, something that they can understand. And he said, don't you untie your ox and donkey to take it down to maybe to the river or to give it a plate of water. Don't you untie it? Because if it is not untied, it will remain in a fixed position for the whole of the Sabbath. But this rabbi were okay with that. That they can do that on a Sabbath. They knew they did that on a Sabbath. But it was wrong for Jesus to heal someone on a Sabbath. Jesus challenged it. The other dimension to this story is that when someone is bent over in that situation, bent over like that, they experience pain. They struggle. They are fixed in a position. And I would like us this very day to be able to identify ourselves with the bent woman, bent over woman. The truth is that we are all bent. We are all bent over. We may not be walking down like this woman we see in the picture. But the truth is that we are all bent over with pain. We are struggling with an illness, with a disease. We may be struggling emotionally. We may be struggling with depression. Or we live in an environment where we hear abusive words each day. And it's very difficult for us to even find joy and happiness. Perhaps we are bent over spiritually as we are being told that we are not good enough to be God's child. Or we are incapacitated as we struggle to pay our bills and provide for our families. The truth is, we have all walked in the bent over woman's shoes. We have felt the burdens of life oppress and deform us. And you know what that means. That her story is my story. That her story is your story. That her pain is my pain. And her pain is your pain. If the bent woman was to attend church this day, possibly we would all make her, maybe, sit at the back of the church, or maybe on the floor. Maybe that's what happened on that day when Jesus was preaching, where everyone thought that was the right place for her, where she would barely be seen. We've seen so many people distracting other people not to go close to Jesus, saying, no, not you. No, blocking them. And this woman could have found herself in a similar situation where she was put on the floor, where she was barely seen and definitely not heard, as thought suitable and appropriate for her. It is possible we have come into church this morning in a similar kind of situation, bent over, seated on the floor, thinking we cannot be heard. But you have come with hope. This woman came with hope. She was seeking for hope. She was seeking for her life to be changed. She did not go to Jesus and ask him to heal her. Interesting, isn't it? She did not go to Jesus to ask for healing in her situation. But in within herself, she was possibly dying and looking for hope, struggling, wanting her situation to change. If it was some of us, would be home and not come to church, being self-pity, I can't come. But this woman rose from her house and she came. She was present in church. And do you know why Jesus responded to the woman? Because as we are seated here, just like today, it was the same on that day. Jesus is preaching to everyone. The synagogue was full to capacity, to its capacity. But this woman had full attention for Jesus. This woman had full attention for Jesus. And that attracted Jesus. And he said, woman, full attention for Jesus. So it was even good for Jesus to just reach out to this one person in the congregation who was paying full attention to him and minister to them and minister to the person. Mission accomplished. He did accomplish what God sent him to do, because Jesus, in his very life, he was reflecting God's nature as he walked around. Of course, he had to show compassion because God was around. The kingdom of God had descended on earth. The kingdom of God was being established here on earth through Jesus Christ. And so compassion and love and mercy and kindness, Jesus had to show all those things in all his life as he was going through his life. We sit in solidarity with her, the bent over woman, this morning, as she enters the one place where many of us go to find hope and healing, the synagogue, the church, God's house. We are here today. If you feel that you are in a fixed position, if you feel that you are bent over, the kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus already established his kingdom on earth. And his kingdom is still established today through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is still ministering to us. So Jesus' timeline, many sick people were flocking to him. I want to tell you and assure you that these healings confirmed his divine nature. These healings, they highlighted the supernatural source of his mission and showed that God can and wants to restore man. So it wasn't a simple mission as the rabbi saw it. They were bent over with short-sightedness. They could not see what God was trying to establish. God can and wants to restore man. And so he had to find a way of showing his nature, his divine nature, his supernatural source. Through Jesus, it was manifested. Through Jesus, it was demonstrated. Healing, therefore, was an integral part of Jesus' mission. Through Jesus, God has come to live amongst his people, amongst us. So many of us are in that situation. So many of us are in that position. We need to search ourselves. We need to search ourselves and know exactly what is putting us down, what is deforming us. We may all be walking. We may all be straightened up like I am, like you are. But in real sense, before God, we are all walking like this. Trouble, in one way or another. Real trouble. But as Jesus came on that day, and as we have seen him ministering to so many, he came to bring God's kingdom to man. To bring that kingdom to man. To bridge the gap that was there between us and God. And in doing that, he was in a mission. He was in a mission to establish that. To bridge that gap. To bring that hope. To bring that healing. To bring that restoration. So the kingdom of God filled the synagogue. And healing miracles happened. One woman who was attentive got healed. Are we attentive, church? This woman heard Jesus speak. This woman heard Jesus speak. She heard the voice and she was attentive. As you can see from that slide, she felt the power. She responded when Jesus called her. If it was a register, she would be saying, present. Are we present, church, this very hour before God? So Jesus is here today for us. We need to find out what is making you out of shape. My brothers, my sisters, the kingdom of God is here. Jesus is here today, readily available to do his very mission he came to do, to heal, to reconcile, to restore. Whatever it is that is keeping us out of shape, we may not be able to name it, but you can name it yourself in within your heart. God will straighten it out like he did with the crippled woman. Amen? So, to end, church, I am calling you to see Jesus as he is, as a man of mission who was sent by his Father to establish this mission on earth. And I am sure he cried on the cross and he said, "It is finished." The mission was completed. It wasn't an impossible mission. It was a possible mission. But that mission still carries on. It's in your hands. It's in my hands. Amen? Amen. To end, We're going to sing. Okay. All right. Okay.
In my spirit, I sense we cannot possibly talk about this and just sing a song and go home, have a coffee and go home. That's playing church, not doing church. I want to do church. Leaders, come join me. Sheila, come join me. Ellen, come join me. Christine, come join me. Musician, I would like Cornerstone. Cornerstone. Joy, come join me. Evelyn, you're not coming, or you on your way? Or you're on your way, right. These guys are going to sing Cornerstone for us. And what I'm asking you to do is to be thinking and asking the Holy Spirit for words of life, words of liberty, words of freedom. Jesus saw and he spoke. He said, now be free. I'm asking you, because you can't see. People are not sitting there bent over like that. So you can't see. I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit to put within you some thoughts, some words, some impression of people who are bound up. And then I will asking you to speak words of freedom to the captives. Are you with me? Speak words of freedom to the captives. You are speaking with authority as Jesus spoke with authority. And saying, be free. And be free. And you're doing that. Some quiet music in the background whilst you guys are singing gently for us. Yep, make it happen. Let's create an atmosphere of faith. Keep it going. You can put the words up on the screen so they can see the words that we're singing. We've sung it already. And that's what's happening. So you're staying where you are. We're all staying in prayer. We're all staying in worship. I believe there was truth spoken this morning that many of us are imprisoned. We are captives. We bound up. And I've asked leaders and others within the life of the church to ask the Holy Spirit to give them an impression and insight and to speak words of freedom this day, that there may be healing in this place. Okay, leaders, I'm coming to you where you are. I don't want you necessarily to go to anybody. You don't have to go to a person where you are. I want you to speak those words of freedom. God knows who they are. They know who they are. That's all we need to do. God knows who they are. They know who they are. You speak in words of release. Sheila. You look as if you're going to speak some words of release.
I was going to pray for somebody.
Pray out loud, but don't say the name of the person.
Okay.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are here to bring freedom and release to those who are bound. Thank you that you are touching each bound person right now to set them free. Lord, thank you that your love is surrounding that person now and giving them that freedom.